Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, JJ. Good to see you again, mate. You have a good
Hey,
weekend?
Chris. Yeah, man. Doing well. Had a great weekend. It was very busy and relaxing. If you could
Musical, a
imagine that.
musical weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us the concert you were at.
You know what? One of our friends surprised Hope and I and asked if we would like to go see Elton John on his Yellow Brick Road tour. And that was absolutely amazing. It
Sir
was,
Elton
it
John.
felt Sir Elton John, it felt very special. Like I was seeing something that was out of the ordinary. And man, he put on a fantastic show.
Yeah, he hasn't lost any energy from, for decades. He's been this powerhouse on the piano, just unstoppable, really.
You know, I've seen a couple of shows here to where it was, I was kind of in questioning if I really wanted to go see it. One was Morrissey about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And then the other was Elton John. And I was absolutely wrong about both. I thought they were going to be washed up, out of tune, lazy on stage, and I wouldn't get my money's worth. And I was wrong, Gamble. Those guys absolutely performed. And Elton John, 75 years old, just
Wow.
had a hip replacement like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he was out there crushing it. And his band is just so fuego, man. They are on fire. It's a three-piece percussion set that he's got going on over there.
What was the venue? It looked like a big sports stadium.
Yeah, we were at the Toyota Center where the Houston Rockets, our basketball team, plays.
Okay.
And he was there for 2 nights. We caught him on the second night. We were 3 rows deep from stage left. And he had this really cool mobile piano that kind of moved around on the stage. So whenever he did his costume set change, it moved around to where the stairs were, and he just walked down and walked back up, and then the piano would move back over to where it was supposed to be. But yeah, man, it was quite the show. Very, very enjoyable.
We talk a lot about, movies at home cinema, home theater. I always think that home audio systems have always struggled with the live music reproduction. You can kind of simulate home theater in the home, or theater in the home, cinema in the home, but a live music concert, I always find it miles away from where the reality of a concert.
You know, there's something to be said for quality audio and pairing the appropriate amp and preamp with a really good pair of tower speakers. And you can simulate really good quality audio, but there is nothing like a live show. It's incomparable. If you want to enjoy music, get up out of the house. Turn your tech off and go catch a show. That's the right way to do it, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think that's maybe where we've talked about it in the last few episodes, but that's maybe where the metaverse will get us a bit closer to the concert via virtual reality, possibly.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of artists, I'll have to look it up, that have done some metaverse shows and actually had tens of thousands of viewers, if not hundreds of thousands of viewers.
I think one of the artists is, I'm sure he's got an association with Houston. Is it Travis Scott?
Yeah, Travis Scott. Yeah, Travis
Yeah.
Scott did one. And then
He's done a
also,
concert. He did a concert, I think, like in Fortnite in the game. I might
there you
be
go.
completely wrong, but something like that rings a bell.
And I think also Justin Bieber did a song or did one as well.
Yeah, so it's there's new frontiers for live music, for gaming, for cinema, and people think, these places have had their heyday they could just about be about to be entering a whole new incredible era, you know, beyond what they imagined 30, 40, 50 years ago in these industries. Again, we talk about it privately and on the show, you know, there's potential for a bit of a land grab here, where there's going to be some beachside property as an analogy that probably to steal an analogy from Gary Vee, but there's going to be things up for grabs here. And I think all of our listeners should be tuning in to the virtual opportunities that are coming.
Yeah, like Elton John, he has a collaboration song out with Dua Lipa, mm-hmm. Cold yeah. Heart, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's all animated. I mean, it's perfectly made for, you know, that metaverse type of environment. Dude, it's a mega hit. Dude's 75 years old and still putting out.
Yeah, but think how long your career could be when it goes virtual. It's animated. It's, you know, it's well, yeah. Think of the revenue for your estate. For your family, yeah. For forever. Because I read an article about one of the record labels purchased the whole catalog of David Bowie from his family, from his trust, paid a massive amount, which I'm sure they'll recoup, but it was in the region of like £250 million.
Wow.
Yeah, as a one-off fee, you know. But if you look at it, instead of looking at it in the 5-10 year view, look at it over 100 years, what they could recoup from another iconic, you know, we seem to be talking a lot about British music artists here, but an iconic UK artist.
Yeah, I think Warner Music bought that for $250 million.
Yeah.
Wow. That just blows my mind. I know that Michael Jackson started that whenever he bought the Beatles catalog.
Yeah.
And I think he was one of the very first ones to kind of start that as a trend. And man, was he way ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, no, it just goes to show the longevity and maybe a renaissance for things will come back around, because, you know, it can't all be original. And I think if you watch science fiction movies over the years, we probably thought we'd be different, listening to different kind of music by now, you know, like the Star Wars, kind of the band that play in the Star Wars movie, you think we're going to be listening to stuff like that. But no, we're still tuning into 75-year-old pianists.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're good, you're good.
Sure.
Yeah, I just saw Billy Joel in November. And, you know, of course, he's a piano man. And now I saw Elton John. I've got both my piano men in back to back. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you don't get to, you know, these concerts are, you know, they might do it once in a generation. So you've done well to see both of them in a short space of time.
All right. I don't know what I got next laid out. I know that the Rolling Stones are coming to town, but I don't know if I'll make that one. We'll see.
Yeah. But so you've also I've been getting videos from yourself. You've been showing me your work, which I've been very impressed with a chain of restaurants that I'm familiar with, because I've dined in one of them, which I was excited at the time to dine in it. I'd love to dine in it again. You've been working in a well-known restaurant chain in Houston.
Yeah, man, we have been at, you know, we are at the pinnacle of opening this restaurant. It's Kenny and Ziggy's here in the Houston area. And if you like New York deli style food, or if you don't even know it, New York deli style food, and you come to Houston, you've got to stop by Kenny and Ziggy's and eat. Ziggy is there all the time. He is a larger than life character who's just full of bubbly joy. And he makes his menu. You need to read the menu a day before, because the menu has at least 150 different types of items on there. So when you get there, you don't want your eyes to bug out of your head But every item on that menu is absolutely delicious. And we're super honored to be chosen to do his audio, video, his cameras, as well as his wireless solution. We're even collaborating with the company that's doing his registers and his printers and his phone system, in the sense of providing them at least the wiring and the rack space and, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes with, you know, these new digital restaurants. And it's just been such an exciting a project for us that's, I don't know, I guess it's taken about a year for this thing to finally come full circle. And it's getting ready to open up this Thursday, man. It's happening.
Yeah, could I, just the, some of the short videos you sent me, I could see a real the real scope of the technology that goes into the modern restaurant today. And you talked about some of them. And one thing I noted was how many cameras a place like that needs to provide security for the building, security for staff, security for the people frequenting the place. You know, all back to a large hard drive storing all that video footage. And you know, that these are things that are often omitted, you know, as an afterthought. You know, maybe like have a couple of cameras, but to truly cover a restaurant, you do need to a lot of cameras.
Yeah we did a 8 terabyte hard drive with a LTS camera system. We really enjoy working with LTS. It's super secure. The encryption is tough. There's some manufacturers, you just click the QR code on the top and you're in. LTS has like a two-step authentication. I mean, it is not easy to I mean, it is, but it's not. They make it a challenge for you to access their cameras. But the reliability of that camera system is fantastic. I want to say we did like 32 cameras, all IP cameras throughout his property, 6 megapixel. So, I mean, we could have gone with a higher resolution. And one thing that Ziggy discovered and we discussed was that he's had other locations and electronics was always an afterthought. It was something that he just, you know, who really needs it? And then as you get into the building, you start adding things and, you know, you realize that, oh, I do need something here or there. And this time, Ziggy did not want to pass up quality technology. And he had a budget line for tech for this go around. And it's turned out to be a fantastic solution for him. One of my favorite things that we did and what we do in all of our clients' homes now, and we kind of, I'll do a hat tip over to our friends at AOS who do, you know, their spaghetti wiring, but color coding your different cables that you have, make it for different utilizations in a system, makes it so much easier to manage. And then also we did some wiring trays for this client, which is something that we haven't done in the past. And anytime somebody comes into our mechanical closet and sees that, they're like, holy cow, this is done right. You know, and I mean, you just take a blink at it and you know that the work is good quality work. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. These are things that are behind the scenes and hidden from view, but, you know, a lot of workmanship goes into, you know, the neatness of cabling and the documentation and the testing. Just expand on what JJ's saying there is, you know, you might use predominantly one type of cable in an installation. We've talked about Cat6 cable being used a lot in projects, home and commercial projects. But what JJ is saying is he's using different colored Cat6 cables for different services. So all the cameras might be red, all the cabling going to televisions or screens might be green, all the cabling for the Wi-Fi system may be orange. And that just allows for easy identification, knowing what cameras what, knowing what cables what. Maybe you're organizing it into different panels where you're terminating the cables back to, and it's from end to end. It shows a high level of design and thought, and then going forwards after the project's finished, easy identification. And especially in a commercial job, JJ, where you might lift a ceiling tile, you know, in a suspended ceiling, and you can instantly see, oh, okay, that's CCTV going over there. That's not the cable I'm looking for. I'm looking for, you know, another cable, or trying to maybe move a cable somewhere. At least it gives you a fighting chance to hunt down and track down things after things have been finished many, many years ago.
Yeah, and we went a little step further to where all of the ports that are on the wall, we made those, we call them keystone yeah. punch downs, but we made the color of those terminations the same color as the wire.
Ooh.
So you didn't have to pop the plate off. You could just look at the plate and say, oh, that's a blue wire, or that's a yellow wire, or that's a purple wire. And then you at least are able to narrow down the color of wire that you might be looking for. And then, of course, in the back, it is labeled, you know, so you could easily find, you know, different wires if necessary. And then it's all in a rack. And in this application, you know, you got to use a rack. There's just too much going on that you can't. I mean, I think we have like 6 network switches in that stinking thing, plus the NVR, and we're using Wirestorm. I don't know if y'all are using Wirestorm.
Yeah, we know that brand well, and installers that listen to the show will definitely know Wirestorm, even here in Europe.
What's cool, and you know, I really hammer against matrixes, but there are some applications, just like a rack, that is mandatory. You just can't not do that. And in this application, or in this use case scenario, it's absolutely mandatory. We have 6 televisions. We didn't want a sports bar feel by any means, but we did want an informative environment, in the sense that his patrons, you know, want to sometimes see the news, or they like golf channel or tennis channel, and so they wanted to be able to at least have that as an option for their patrons. And so we used Wirestorm's network HD solution, which is my favorite as of right now, because it comes with this app. And Gamble, you and I, we've always talked about user ease ability, like how whenever I hand it over to an end user, how easy it is for them to comprehend how this, you know, system is supposed to work. And so what's awesome about Wirestorm is in their app, you have all the different sources that are lining up at the bottom of the screen, and you take your finger and you drag it onto either an individual screen or onto a group of screens, and that image just instantly changes over to whatever you drag it over to. And so we have like three cable boxes, and you know, they're going across these 6 televisions. We're also using a control system for this for this property as well. We're using RTI. I am completely talking about things that you and I have talked about against, you know, for like 2.5 years, but it's applicable in this environment. And so we're using RTI as our control system. And every morning at 6:30, all the televisions turn on. The Sonos starts playing a particular playlist that Ziggy has chosen. And then through that RTI system, he can also choose a television or choose a channel. And you know, you can push the icon for ESPN, and it automatically dials in 206 and enter on whatever TV that is viewing. We also got an Apple TV up there in case they ever want to cast something up onto those TVs, and they can simply do that.
I think for UK listeners, you know, we think about our restaurants and even our pubs. To a lot of extent, to even think having 6 screens in a place like that is unusual for a venue in the UK. And like a pub might just have like one old TV in the corner, you know, mounted on a piece of wood or something.
Well, how do y'all watch football then at the pub?
They just like have like the crappiest, oldest projector, like beaming onto like a bed sheet in a lot of places. You know, the AV setup in a lot of UK pubs is, you know, there might be lots of screens, but they'll all be like small 32 inch bought in a supermarket cheap TVs. The sports bar concept never took off in the UK.
It just doesn't. Did they ever try it?
I've seen, you know, people attempt. In fact, even the city close to where I am in Norwich, they have a sports bar. But what are we going to watch? Football, cricket, rugby. It's just not going to capture. People are just out to get drunk in the UK. They're not out to chill out and watch sport. They're there to get into a messy state very quickly.
Yeah. No, man. And so he didn't want that sports bar vibe. We have TVs just delicately placed throughout his property. You know, I have music. Let's see, I think we have 8 zones of audio that we have going through, you know, like music in the bathrooms. We have a little schmooze room. That's really cool. And he doesn't charge anybody to use the schmooze room. But it's where you can have meetings or have group gatherings. They can do a presentation on a 75-inch television that we installed in there. We also provided him with a podium that has a built-in PA system, which is super cool, that he can wheel in and out of that room. And put a little jack underneath that television, so if somebody brings in a laptop with an HDMI jack, you know, they can simply port, you know, plug into the wall, and the TV automatically shifts over to, you know, view the laptop. So that's pretty cool, pretty easy, very straightforward.
It's quite odd, actually, in a way that we're quite aligned between customized and digital delight, our businesses, in that I'm currently working on a number of restaurant projects in London for a long-standing client, just like you have a long-standing history with Kenny and Ziggy's. We've got a similar thing going on now where we've done like 4 restaurants in the last year, and another 2 are just about to start February, March in London. And at the moment, as this week, I've been planning the installation and the cabling and handing over documentation to the electricians doing the wiring. I'm actually going to London tomorrow to meet with them just to check on progress. But we've still stuck to our roots with Ubiquiti Unify, Sonos for the music, Ubiquiti also for the CCTV. And we give that restaurant the same consistent brands in all 7 of them now, and the staff have the ability to move around between the restaurants. You know, they shift staff around as things peaks and troughs of you know, what's busy and what venue needs which staff, and they go in, they know how to work the music system and view the cameras and playback if they needed to review footage or give people access to the Wi-Fi. And with the Wi-Fi, we're also linked up with a partner who provides a guest portal where they can gather marketing, they can get follows on social media, email addresses, etc. And they just have that same standard blueprint for all of them. So yeah, down to London tomorrow to keep things up to date on 2 new venues.
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing a large adoption of Resimmercial, where commercial environments are adopting and embracing residential type solutions. In the sense, like we used Eero for the wireless solution in this project.
Okay.
But we're also using Sonos to stream all their music, commercial music options. You know, Sonos has quite a bit of commercial music options to choose from. I didn't do the Lutron system, but they've got Lutron for all the lighting in this property. And we didn't do any Ring, obviously. This just wasn't the appropriate location to do some Ring. But, you know, we did three out of our five.
Sure.
You know, is a good swing, you know, for your traditional consumer products for a commercial application. And why not, man? It works. It works like a champ.
Yeah, it works when it's thought about, when it's designed, when it's planned, and also it works when you hand it over with adequate training and documentation that people can, whether that's in a home or in a restaurant or in a hotel or an office, as long as you provide the documentation and provide training that benefits them and is not heavy on the tech and more on the use of it, then it should be something that you don't have to do a lot of circling back to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you're headed out to London tomorrow.
Yeah. Early start. So it's about a 3-hour drive for us, but yeah, we've got locations to go to in Oxford Circus, which is a big shopping district, Regent Street, Oxford Street, around that kind of part of London. And then over to Hyde Park, mm-hmm. which is a huge park in the center of London, an area called Paddington, probably mm-hmm. most famous because of the bear. So that's where we'll be hanging out tomorrow briefly.
Hey, you know, we're talking about commercial jobs. You did this really, really cool commercial job for a flooring company. How's that going? And I think you closed it out. I mean, that's done.
Yeah,
it's behind
all finished. Yeah, all finished. So that was lighting awesome only project. Place. So heavy on really well designed lighting by a very, very talented lighting designer. And we ensured that it got to the finish line in terms of the installation and the setup and the use of the system. And that's now an active showroom for this flooring company, and they invite all their customers to come and view samples and examples of the flooring services that they provide, all real wood, natural wood flooring, with unbelievable craftsmanship and talent, you know, to do these just the most amazing polished details into floors that you probably only see in castles, stately homes, and Las Vegas hotel foyers. You know, it's just incredible the examples of their work that they do. A showroom appreciating that lighting will benefit their product, and it really shows it off. You know, lighting that can be pinpointed onto a product, or lighting that can change the mood of a space. As the natural light changes, using the artificial light to maintain a consistent appearance in the room, but also then, when needed, dim it down, timers at night to simulate that there's some occupancy, and also show off some displays in the window without somebody having to remember to leave lights on or turn things on manually. Everything is automated, which was a feature that they didn't appreciate so much until they started using it. They thought, man, we only have to press like one button in the morning, and then everything else throughout the day transitions itself, which is a cool feature of a lighting system that you can have it running pretty much automated through it until you turn it off again.
Right. Yeah. Man, lighting is, it's underappreciated and I think it's underappreciated just because it's not new to us, Gamble, but it's still new to the public. I think commercial uses a lot of lighting control solutions, and in residential, we have several customers that are using lighting control, but it's definitely not in abundance. We're doing this other house. It's like, I guess it's about 11,000 square foot home right now. And we have Lutron lighting control through that entire property. And I could not imagine trying to manage all those light switches or the banks of light switches that you would have to control the lights in the kitchen alone. You know, we've got it consolidated down to 1 6 button keypad that allows you to create scenes like what you're talking about. And you can have a lights on scene, an accent scene, a cooking scene, an entertainment scene. And depending on what scene you push or how you program it, every light in that entire house can operate off of that singular button without even sweating it, man. It's so easy. And like we've talked about in the past, once clients have that type of a solution, they never want to not have it again. We also put all the shades on those keypads too, which is pretty slick.
Yeah, I'd really like to challenge home builders, home designers to really think about a lighting control system, even for the average home, that when you start to look at some of these systems available that use wireless dimming, wireless control, which sounds techy and flash and prone to errors, but you know, without going into the tech, forget that it's wireless and radio frequency based. This is very, very reliable. But when you factor in the amount of labor and cable and mess and plastering and painting and redecoration and sinking boxes into walls, especially in the UK where we've got these solid walls here, and you can do, you know, have the switches completely wireless, your dimmer is located either somewhere central or close to the light itself. I would challenge, and I need to do it. It's one of those things on my list that one day I'll sit down and do a comparison chart of the old home versus the new home. Because I think there needs to be some kind of buyer's guide where, or specifier's guide to say, here's how you've been doing it for the last 30 years. And here's how we think you should be doing it. And I think our whole industry should be behind this, that we collectively, we've got to start. I see all these protests around the world and I feel like having a smart home protest. You know, it's like, come on, you know, start pushing back against the old guard of the design and build community.
Yeah, I think designers are all about it. But whenever it's just a builder without a designer, that's, you know, who needs some education and some convincing. I mean, at least put your perimeter lights on some type of smart control. And so people don't drive up to a dark home, or, you know, that's an easy one. And I'm not talking about photocell type of light, because you don't have any control over that. I'm talking about like having some control over your lighting in your house, and then that just kind of will be easy to expand upon into the interior of the house if you start from the exterior of the house, for sure.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be fresh conversations about this. You know, I think, no pun intended, but we are coming out of the dark after a couple of years, conducting all our business via Zoom and Teams and emails and messaging. But, you know, I think when we get back out to these shows and gatherings between industries, we need to start pushing the new home agenda.
I like the ring of that.
I was thinking of something like some reset, great reset.
That one's already taken.
We'll come up with something. Yeah. New world.
Order. New world. No. So I don't know. That's a great reset. I don't know. Smart, I think those are all taken already right now. Those URLs have been purchased.
Yeah. Damn.
Oh, okay, man.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to work because it's the middle of your working day, and I'm going to start planning a trip upstairs to get my head down for this trip to London in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, be safe on that trip tomorrow. And Digital Ramblers, thank you so much for tuning in again to Chris and I rambling on about our goings-on on a regular basis. Hopefully, it's influential and something that you can put into your quill of understanding when it comes to smart home, or maybe in a commercial application. We have a lot of listeners that have commercial applications or business owners, and it's always interesting and exciting to hear from those owners. You know, if you ever have a question about technology that can be implemented in your home or in a business, please don't hesitate to reach out to Chris and I. You can find us on our website at digitalrambleshow.com. There is a little tab on there that you can click and send us an email directly. You can also find us on 11 different podcast streaming services. And on Anchor in particular, you can leave us a voicemail or drop us a direct message. We'd love hearing from our audience.
Yeah, because as JJ always says, if you don't know, ask a home tech pro. You know, man.